Thanks.
At the end of the night, we still have to get that motion.
Is that Kathy?
Yes, Kathy.
That's Kathy over there.
Is that Kathy?
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, Deborah. No, this has been a record for us, anyway. Apparently the last time this community committee sat this long was to do with the Ridgewood. The Ridgewood issue.
1983?
91, I think.
I wasn't born.
No. Anyhow, as the applicant for Group 7 or Lot 7, I guess you have the opportunity to present to us, understanding that some of the issues that we were talking about with our friends at Landmark and Qualico sort of reflect on you also. So
right.
I don't know, after all this time, what your state of preparedness is to go forward, but you let us know and we're happy to cooperate. So.
Well, it's going to be quite a bit shorter than everybody else in that it's a rezoning application of Area 7 where we have two parcels of land, one 17 acres, one 4 acre, and there's roughly 10 other acres in this area plus the McMunn and Yates site. And once the new Ridgewood comes into effect and the Bell Clement Parkway extension will be almost an isolated area, and with Elmhurst being closed so that traffic would have no way except to go across Wilkes if they proceeded east, that the traffic area through Laxdale and Haney probably wouldn't have the impact that a lot of people think. Now, we are asking for a rezoning in accordance with the airport vicinity plan of 35 units per acre. However, that roughly 700 units would not be that. When we put in the Ridgewood and they take some land for the Bill Clement Parkway, we put in the 3-acre retention pond, and I think the ACG has asked us to look at leaving an aspen clump, and I'm not sure how big that area is. However, being almost like a mom-and-pop development group, not Qualico, we have opted to go this way to ensure that we have our zoning in place before we can go to the extent of putting out a big presentation like Qualico. So We are just asking for the rezoning of the 35 units per acre at this point.
Okay. Do we have questions?
Sure. Do you?
Your development plans are somewhere substantially down the road.
They are, in that we kind of wanted to guarantee that we would have this zoning before we went to the expense and hired all the consultants and did the studies so that we knew that it would be for multiple family and not single family or something else. I did hope that the ACG report could be changed and the traffic study done at a later date, in that I understand that we still are not guaranteed a zoning change at the Standing Policy Committee level, and every other recommendation is no building permit will be issued until we do this and this, except for the ACG report where it said they wanted the traffic study before it went to the Standing Policy Committee.
Councillor Fielding.
Okay. You know, I got some questions for administration right now on this, but so essentially you don't have any glossies or anything else in terms of what you're going to do. You're just asking for, you know, in terms of the...
Our long-term plan was to put up, to start with one apartment block, a 90 unit. We realize that that's going to take a couple of years by the time we get everything done and through all of the different steps here and get it built. And by that time, more roads will be in. We'd be further down the way.
Okay.
But to put up the 700 units right away, no, that's out of the question.
I guess, you know, and once again, I'll ask some question of administration. It's somewhat hard to I guess, have a sense, you know, what this is going to look like or anything else, how it fits into the community if you're not, you don't kind of see the actual building and structure. So,
Paul, go ahead.
I just want to get some clarification in the report. Section 1A2, it says that the location and design of parking, private approaches, all of it would be subject to plan approval by Assiniboia Community Committees and with Director of Planning, Property and Development. You're fine with that then? So a plan comes back to this committee?
We are.
And so you just essentially want to know that there's
the zoning's in place
of it being rezoned. And is your intention to develop it yourselves or is it to sell it?
At this point in time, it's to develop it ourselves.
Uh-huh. Okay. And are there comparable projects that you've developed in the city?
Hal Slamp has done apartment blocks, built apartment blocks all of his life, and he would like to put a few apartment blocks up on this site. If I had my way, we'd be putting up a retirement home, but we're still in discussions on that. He would first like to put up approximately a 90-unit apartment block.
For the administration, too, but I think if we have no other questions, does the administration have any questions for Deborah? No? Okay, we'll see. We're going to go through the name of everybody's process off here, and you can certainly stay tuned. I have a question. Just this property seems to me to be quite close to the airport circumference. Is it outside of that?
It's in Area 2.
It's good. Okay. Just anytime you have planes landing close by.
I think it's Area 1, if I'm not mistaken, on the noise contours, you've got to build to a higher standard. Is that not the case, or is that...
No, within Area 1, it's the louder noise contours, and no new multiple family is allowed except minor residential infilling. Within Area 2, it's not as noisy in the contours of taking off and landing for the airport, and so that restriction is no more than 35 units per acre be developed as new multiple family without a conditional use to expand that number. But Area 2 allows some new multiple family to be established at 35 units per acre.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, that was Deborah speaking on behalf of the applicant. In favor? We ask Bill Eva. Bill is gone home. Adam Sharp. No Adam Sharp. Roland Demolien. He's not been here all night, so. Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak in favor of rezoning Area 7? Seeing none, thank you. Okay, we'll hear some familiar names here. I'm starting to have them memorized. Those opposed, Otto Amont, Richard Wend. Is he coming?
Yep.
Holy smokes. Okay, while he's coming, I'm going to name some others. Lance Bell, Leonard Van Roon, Wendy Josephson, Angela Reeves, Gavin and Elaine Reed, Randy Drew, Barbara Hutton. Verna Hare, Bran Adams, Jacqueline Clement, Len Van Roon, Darlene Butcher, Terry Butcher, Claire Coleman, Neil Candicell, Deanna Coombs, Victoria McDonald, Alan Roberts, Leslie Chamberlain. All righty, sir. Richard, you have 6 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much for the opportunity. I'd also like to thank the administration, Cindy Donovan, and James Donovan is not part of the administration. They met with us and they gave us some information on this. The application to rezone the lands from agricultural to residential multifamily. We're opposed to the application. I've included copies of my presentation. I won't read the whole thing. And I've also included a petition from various residents. The zoning change would allow for future development of multifamily units. By way of background, this committee's heard representations from Laxdal Road with respect to traffic issues in the past. I believe you've also had, Ms. Havitzbeck has also had representation from other north-south streets in that area with regards to traffic. The development of Ridgewood South generally, and more specifically this zoning change, has caused us great concern with the respect to the amount and type of traffic this development will bring to the existing neighborhood. We're not opposed to all development. In the 27 years I've lived on Laxdal, there have been 3 condo developments to the north of us. There's been 1 small housing development on Bloomer Crescent. We never opposed those. Probably the thing we should have opposed was the zoning variance for the Tim Hortons, but that's another story. We're not going to miss this opportunity with respect to traffic. Our observations that due to a number of changes, such as the Clement Parkway, the commercial development on Keniston, the arrival of IKEA and Charleswood Center changes, traffic on Laxdal Road and the other surrounding streets has increased. Laxdal and the other north-south streets are basically the extension of the Bill Clement Parkway now. With respect to this specific application, While it's not specifically required, there's been no public consultations, despite the recommendation from the Public Service to do so. There have been other public meetings throughout the last 3 years with respect to other developments, and we've attended those. This came as a bit of a surprise that this was being developed the way it was. The zoning change was coming into effect because we'd heard nothing about it. There have been no detailed site plans submitted. This should be a prerequisite to any consideration for rezoning. The subject lands are considered landlocked. However, on page 10 of the administration report, there's a possibility of a short-term temporary access given across the Hart Trail. We're totally opposed to this, and I believe the people from the Hart Trail are totally opposed to this. And I also ran this presentation by the CCHP people, and they were in agreement with what we're presenting here. Any access across the Hart Trail, however temporary, is going to create traffic problems in that area. And I don't necessarily believe it would be a temporary access. Given the level of concern by area residents that there's regarding traffic, there should be no consideration given to this application until a detailed traffic study has been done. Any approval should be contingent on assurances that existing streets will not be impacted by more traffic. Proposed infrastructure, such as the extension of the parkway to Wilkes, other proposals contemplated in the Ridgewood plan, must be completed prior to any consideration for zoning changes. We also suggest that the twinning of Shaftesbury between Wilkes and Grant be considered in conjunction with the Ridgewood South project. And I understand that in the July meeting you dealt with those issues. It should come as no surprise that residents are going to be opposed to rezoning a property that's currently zoned agricultural and land that is landlocked without assurances in place that existing areas are not going to be adversely impacted. In the analysis and issues section of the administration report, there is a heading compatibility with the existing neighborhood. That's on page 18 and 19. Keys to compatibility to the existing neighborhood include minimizing the impact on the Hart Trail. I've heard no evidence that there would be mitigation for the Hart Trail with the construction and the existing residential neighborhood to the north. And if you haven't bothered to have a public meeting about what you're planning, I don't think there's been much consideration given to getting along with the existing residentials to the north. Without adequate infrastructure in place, there should be no zoning changes. Sewer extensions contemplated on page 20 of the administration report should only be approved when there is a guarantee they will not adversely impact existing residences. And, when we get our annual 1-in-100-year rainfall and our annual 1-in-100-year snowfall, which we seem to be getting more and more frequently, I think some of the issues brought up about drainage issues have to be considered carefully. There's a potential development for 700 units here. That's not likely to happen because of some of the dedication requirements. But we have no idea what the density is going to be, as there have been no plans submitted. Schedule C, page 25, number 10 of the agreement conditions references traffic modifications to Laxdal Road and Haney due to an increase in traffic. Laxdal Road is almost at full capacity now. We're at 4,750 cars per day, and the optimum for a collector street is 5,000. That was before IKEA went in and the shops of Tuxedo. We'd ask for a traffic study to be done and see how the traffic has been impacted on those streets by those commercial developments. Also, item 17 references routes for construction traffic. What is the proposal for construction traffic for Area 7 specifically and the precinct in general? Are the cement trucks going to be rolling down Laxdal Road or Haney or what street? We'd like to know. I also included a copy from the Metro, how the Assiniboine Forest came to be. And I think it lays out, some of the forethinking that a guy named Councillor named Bernie Wolfe, who I'm sure you've all heard of, had the foresight to help develop the Assiniboine Forest and preserve it for what it is. And what we've got, and I told this to Donovan, we're not Vancouver, we're not Victoria. We don't have that natural kind of beauty. But let's try and save what we've got. I mean, the Hart Trail, that area, maybe it can be developed, but let's develop it intelligently. And there's no plan submitted here. We have no idea what's going on. And it shouldn't impact adversely on this existing streets. And we've been talking about it for 3 years. I don't think this zoning change is helpful for that. If there's any questions.
No questions? No. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Again, I'm speaking on behalf of the Friends of the Hart Trail, and I don't think at this late date I can actually express how strongly we oppose this application for rezoning. It's not that we are opposed to rezoning itself, we're opposed to the fact that we have no idea what the development will look like once the rezoning is done. We're very distressed by the wording of the temporary crossing of the Hart Trail that may be required or requested. We don't know what kind of access, how are they getting access to this site for development and for building. Are they crossing the Hart Trail? Is that what they're going to ask for? That is under no circumstances on the table as far as we're concerned. I don't understand how a committee could pass the rezoning without seeing the development plan. And I have a question for you. Is it possible, or once this, if this rezoning is passed, do they have to come back with a subdivision plan, or are they finished? Will we ever get a chance for public consultation?
This committee for approval. So the way the report is worded, it says that they would have to come back for plan approval.
For plan approval once the rezoning happens?
Yeah.
Now, at what point does that happen? Like, when do these temporary crossings happen? How are they getting access to the site? Is there any road in there now, right now, that they can use?
Well, is this appropriate to go back and forth, or do they ask questions and then they ask us?
Well, they can answer it later. That's fine. I just register our opposition to it for those reasons. And I guess we've just passed a precinct plan that says that there will be public consultation, traffic study, habitat study, and we're not seeing any of that for this application. Thank you. Questions?
Okay. No, we're good. Thank you. Ladies, one of you come forward, whatever.
Hello. We stayed this late hour simply to comment on sub-area 7 and we believe that this application should not go through for various reasons. One is the precedent has been set by the precinct plan approval to provide certain criteria in order for sub-area plans to be reviewed and evaluated. We've heard sub-area 1 has sets the bar in my mind, meets all the criteria that have been set out in the precinct plan. And we also have applicants for sub-area 10 who, although it was deferred, have also made an effort to provide detailed plans, do public consultations, and seek public input and make an honest effort. My understanding is when someone comes through for rezoning, that once the zoning has been approved, that there's no further opportunity for public consultation. Is that true? No? It is true?
We'll ask the administration.
Okay. That was my understanding. But because if that's the case, that would be totally backwards in my mind and contrary to the process that's been set out. It also sets a dangerous precedent. And it sets a bad precedent in terms of the message sent to other developers for the sub-areas. Here we have people who've made an honest effort. They put a lot of time, energy, and money. And then we have somebody else who's trying to, no offense, but trying to do a rezoning with the rationale that they're mom and pops and therefore maybe don't have to meet the same bar as everybody else, which I think is an incorrect approach to sub-area development. So really that's all I have to say, and I'm hoping that that the committee finds it tonight to not approve the zoning application. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Darlene Vocher. I understand mom-and-pop organizations. My dad was a developer, and he was a mom-and-pop organization. And I know that they don't have the same money to put into the pre-development stage. But you can't buy a pig in a poke, and that's what we're being asked to approve here. There is nothing. It shouldn't be developed until there are firmer plans in place. They don't have to be as extensive as the Area 1 plans, but not to have done any of the, even, they must have ideas. They must have done doodles of what they'd like to build there. We don't even have that. The precinct plan is not being followed, and that on the very day that the precinct plan has been passed, although technically it's the very next day after the precinct plan was passed. I don't think that Area 7 should be developed until there are firmer plans in place for the extension of the William R. Clement Parkway and the realignment of Wilkes, because there is a chance that the designs could go slightly off what we think they might go, and all of a sudden there's an apartment block in the way that keeps us from building the most economical or sensible plan. And I'm disappointed that the recommendation of the City Planning Department was to accept or to recommend the acceptance of this plan.
Thank you. Next. Come on down.
I don't agree with the rezoning, just because with there being no like physical proof of what's going to be happening with the area, we don't know if they'll be working with others to preserve natural habitat, like they say. We don't know if the percentage would be the same amount and what they're preserving would be the same with working with Qualico for everything else. I don't see how adding that many people on such a small, dense area will help traffic flow onto Laxdale. But another suggestion, kind of relevant to this, would be instead of bringing the connector road behind Springer's that was for the precinct plan, would be to move Wilkes and attach it to Wilkes, which would go alongside this area. But yeah, it's hard to show you without a picture because they're not.
You didn't state your name at the beginning.
Sorry, Angela Reeves.
Thanks, Angela. Okay, Lynn.
I'll be fast.
Okay. God, you have more gadgets than...
So everybody's just about covered the major points, I think, and very well that Charleswood Historic would agree with. One point that I would differ on is Charleswood Historical would be very pleased to consult with the developer to look at increasing green space, to talk about the heritage of the area and how it could be augmented. Some of us are not opposed to higher density if the traffic problems are solved. So I don't know about 700 because that's roughly the same as all of Area 1. But if it fits our airport requirements, and one of the ways we get a 30% parkland dedication is by increasing the amount, we have a 5-acre forest, a Ridgewood Haney Forest, that right now has a feeder road through it with a tentative turnaround in it. So Area 7 will be looking at. But it's a beautiful piece of forest. You've heard this one before. There's a nice piece of wetland and a beautiful prairie right beside it on the Bill Clement Parkway site that isn't on the existing five-acre plan. There's 19 oak trees. One of them is probably 150 years old. And CCHP and Charleswood Historical both asked that that be extended and added as a little bump, because it's nice to plant in rectangles, but habitat isn't always that way. The other point I would mention before showing you, and this is a close one, this is a short one, it's only a 10-second panorama. A number of us talked to the traffic engineers. We talked to five traffic engineers that didn't take into account the Ridgewood South plan because it wasn't approved yet. And we asked them hypothetically about Fairmont and about Elmhurst and our concerns about the level crossings and the amount of traffic crossing the Hart Trail as a result of that. And all five of the traffic engineers said, you know, if you're only looking three blocks away and you get a graded separation, it doesn't really make any sense from a traffic point of view to be keeping Fairmont or Elmhurst open. Could I live with 500 or 600 people if there was more green space and there wasn't an access to Wilkes? I could live with that number of people crossing the Hart Trail on carefully designed areas. So I'm not opposed to density, especially if it has concomitant with it some more green space. So let's look at my favorite thing. If we picked three wetlands, this would be one of them. When I photographed this, I went in. Whoa, almost worked there. I know it's a wetland because I went in up to my waist and fell over, and there was people on the Hart Trail in the back edge pointing and laughing at me, laying in the water. It's really lush. It's tiny. It's up against the Hart Trail as a vista. There's the Hart Trail in the back edge, and you get a beautiful aspen forest on the far corner. You can just see it peek through there. And this is one of the only places left that animals can move through. So here's my one video for you that I got really wet doing. And it's a beautiful little piece that's absolutely full of blackbirds. This is an area.
Whose land is this?
This is Area 7 just off the Hart Trail.
Do you own some of this land?
Hmm?
Do you own some of this
land? No, I did step on the land to take the picture, and I apologize, but, you know, it's really hard to speak to a development when, as a matter of fact, next to the forest, the sign is facing the wrong way, so you can't see it from the road. So,
well, that's because people have been vandalizing it.
We did look through some of the areas so that we would be prepared to speak on behalf of the community and our organizations. So if that's trespassing, I apologize for stepping in the water and taking that picture, but we wanted our organization to see this beautiful piece of wetland that presently has a feeder road going through it. So if there's no questions, thank you very much for your time. And I think the other people addressed some of the traffic concerns very eloquently. We too are concerned. We would love to consult with the developer on heritage and some of our feelings about, see if we can find some common ground with them if they
are
historical.
Any questions for Lynn? Seeing none,
thank you very much.
All right. Carrying on with names, Harold Strom, Gwen Jameson. Oh, sorry, Wesley.
That's okay. That's all right.
Wesley,
it's late. I don't expect attention span. Yeah,
okay, well, those
I'll be very brief.
Aren't here anyway.
Most of the other presenters have covered the topics. They've been very brief. That shouldn't necessarily indicate the level of concern. We have nothing to go on, so there's not much to say. The one point I would like to make, I can appreciate how smaller developers may feel like it's an onerous task to try and come up with the level of precinct plan that, or the area plan that Qualico came up with. If they felt that strongly, they should have come up and opposed the precinct plan to say that's unfair to smaller developers. That was not done. The precinct plan went through hours ago, and it was very clear on what was required from a sub-area plan. So the other presenters have talked about all the issues that there's no transportation plans or public hearings. That's all valid and extremely valid. So it's almost insulting to Qualico, insulting to ourselves who have worked so hard to develop that precinct plan, to have something that's brought forward at this time. So that's it. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
So what parts of the precinct plan do you think are not being upheld with this application?
Well, I think the other ones allude to it, but there is supposed to be traffic analysis. There is zero. So the comments right now were, were opinion. It was possibly no real traffic implications, and possibly there's I think two comments of possibly. So there's no traffic analysis. There was no direct public input. There was no hearing, as far as I'm aware. I'm near that area. There certainly wasn't any flyering done on. Do you want me to go on?
Sorry, I missed what you said. The second one, traffic analysis.
So the traffic analysis, yeah. There's no public input. There's no actually development plan. We don't even know what this will look like.
Was there a consultation?
Not that I'm aware of. Like I said, I've talked to the people from Laxdal. They didn't hear anything. I'm a McDowell. I didn't hear anything. So as far as I know, there's no public consultation.
So
the developer might be able to speak
answering
after.
Answering my questions, then, what is missing? Traffic analysis?
A traffic analysis?
Public
yep.
input?
Public input?
Yep.
There's no development plan. And I'd have to go back to the precinct plan to say what were all these stipulations on coming through. Because I think even with the transportation, supposed to be egress and access, there's a whole list of things in the precinct plan that would stipulate this is what a sub-area should discuss.
I have no more questions.
Nope, that's it. Okay. Thanks, Wesley.
Thank you.
Carrying on, unless there's somebody sitting back there with Len, no? Charles Simmons, Amanda Simmons, Judy Firth, David Nickel, Verna Menick, Judy Taylor, Colin Nichols, Sonia Strauss. Opposed? Okay, thank you. Tammy Reynolds, Greg Hoare, Curtis Kluke, Gerald Engel, Linda Bowman, Al Bowman, Gail Buffington, Mike Caracas, Carl Roberts, Joan Anderson. Oh, there's somebody gone. State your name, sir.
Hi, I'm Carl Roberts, Laxdal Road. Just like to say I oppose this development in any way, shape or form without a plan that we can actually see and feel what it's about. There's to say there's going to be no or little impact on the residential streets around there, you've got your head up somewhere where it shouldn't be. It's Laxdal Road is absolutely a racetrack all the time. There's too many cars on there already. You put 700 units in, you're looking 1.5 cars per unit, you're looking 1,000 cars. Where are those 1,000 cars going to go? Most of them are going north. They're not going on to Wilkes unless they're going to the development, IKEA or that. A lot of people are working in St. James or in Charleswood or that sort of area. You need to have a proper plan. You need the infrastructure to go in, which is the Clement Parkway, before you can approve any of this. You can't put in 700 units without having the infrastructure to support it. And to cross all those cars across the Hart Trail, it's going to destroy that area. That's all I've got to say.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? No? Okay. Thank you. We have, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to Area 7's rezoning? Seeing none, Oh, okay. Lois Karen, here you are. That's right. I was going to say, would you like to speak? But she's now in the other pile. In opposition, yeah. We have two other folks that are here that were for information, and I'll just read their names out. Paula Makarenko and Abe Friesen. Either one of them are still here.
We're all asleep by now.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Miss Deborah, where are you? You have the opportunity. Oh, okay, well, she can make her way down. We have questions of the administration. Please proceed.
I'm trying to address what we heard, and quite a few speakers said that the precinct plan made it mandatory to have traffic analysis, public input, a development plan. is it mandatory under the precinct plan, or is it, what is it?
Under the precinct plan, the policies do talk about, for example, new developments should have traffic studies. There's nothing in the precinct plan that is mandatory in terms of traffic studies, as far as I know, but it is mandatory from the Public Works Review and the ACG. They have requested traffic studies be provided as part of their conditions.
So that's mandatory, that part?
Yes.
The public input is not mandatory?
No, there's no policies with the City of Winnipeg that require public input. We recommend public input, public open houses. Most people do it. The applicants for Area 7 chose not to.
Okay. In Area 7, there's the highest priority level is 3A, deemed 3A. Is that the department's recommendation? And if so, what makes it be that high of a priority?
Plan, because I gave it to Visa, so I'm just pulling up the digital. I've got it here. It's okay.
Yeah, so that would fall under. That would fall under the category of 3A.
So can you tell us how you determine that and why it's that? And now with the precinct plan being passed, that's allocated green space then, is that?
No, that's just a setting of priority for preservation. So it's not an allocation at this point of anything.
So really, ideally, if we had approved the precinct plan, you'd be coming back with the detailed official ESML report versus the blueprint that you came back with.
Right, there should be
a full
ESML.
And so we would have a full examination then of that with this application. Okay. On the Charleswood Transportation Levy, how would that be handled under this application?
The recommendation from the ACG is to collect the 35 cents per square foot.
The old levy or the new proposed levy? Or
it's the old levy. We have no direction on the new levy at this point.
Not for me.
No. I do.
Are we going to?
Let's switch
to Deborah. Okay, Deborah.
What I wanted to say was, we were at all of the open houses that were related to the precinct plan, and on all of those open houses, it showed us as multifamily, and there were no objections. We spoke to Donovan at great lengths about what all of the results were from all of the surveys that were taken, and there was absolutely no objection. All these people seemed to know that Elmhurst Road was being closed, and on that same plan, it showed us as multifamily, and it showed that the new Ridgewood corridor was going to be south of the Hart Trail, and with the Bill Clement Parkway extension, that we're going to be an isolated area and that traffic will be going east to Elmhurst and south because it won't be able to go north, and there will be an access when they move Haney over because I gather that they need another access as far as emergency vehicles, but people are going to go on the Bill Clement Parkway or to Elmhurst. They're not going to be going up Laxdal, and for a temporary access for possibly 90 units, because it's going to take that long, and these other roads will be put in. There is signage already. You can't turn right or you can't turn left at some of these streets. In order to prevent any traffic from going up Laxdal, there's no reason why you can't put signs saying no left turn as you exit from this site, that you make them go to Elmhurst and south. I'd like to thank Mr. Van Ruin for at least supporting multiple family, and he sees the vision that multiple family is needed. You're developing a huge amount of acreage in that area, and not everybody can afford a single family home. We didn't go to the expense of a $20,000 or $25,000 traffic study at this time, simply because we didn't know if we would get our zoning. We haven't gone to great details of buildings. All I can say is that the city administrative department and the ACG have put stops on everything, saying that if we wanted a building permit, we have to jump through and do all of these hoops that Qualico has done. And we are prepared to do that, but to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on plans and not be able to get our zoning was our major concern. Thank you.
I guess I got a couple points in this. You know, number one, that's just, you know, to your final point in terms of, you know, the workup that you need to do to kind of do a development. I mean, that's just the nature of development, though, right? I mean, it's
right.
You need to do a traffic study because you get residents that come. I've got some concerns with it. You need to kind of do designs and, you know, kind of study so people know how high it is or how big it is, or, you
right.
know, I understand there's. So I guess, you know, my concern with this is we don't really know what's going there. You kind of know the density, but, you know, you have, you know, there's a previous application, obviously they withdrew it. I mean, if you withdraw your application, you can reapply within a year. If we reject it, you can't put another application in for a year. So I guess my concerns are that kind of in a nutshell. I don't know how you want to respond to that one way or the other, but.
We withdraw it. The same thing's going to happen again unless we go to all of this expense. And seeing how long it has taken for the Ridgewood plan because of all of these interest groups,
But that's just the cost of doing business, though. Like, you know, if you're a developer, you have to do a traffic study. Like, I mean, that's, if you're smart, you're going to do a traffic study. You're going to do, if there's issues with sound attenuation, you're going to do some sort of study that looks at that. You're going to look at, you know, a shadow one if people are concerned about the heights if it's shining down. So that's just, you know, really a cost of doing business as a developer.
I hear you. We're not near any residential properties. We're by ourselves.
Deb, can you answer, are you carrying some of the costs that Qualico has incurred?
It is in the recommendation that we pay. And we've looked at this and we've added it up. The Charleswood levy, I think, is $320,000 or $325,000 for us. The Qualico one, we've done all those calculations, and that's why I'm not even addressing any of those issues in there, because once we get our zoning, we have resigned ourselves to the fact that these are the things that we have to do and bring it back for approval. So we're just looking for a zoning change and realize that we have to bring everything back, and it will be done. We had done some preliminary work with pre-con, but then we started this so long ago, even with Stantec, and then the new Ridgewood was put in, and we thought, well, wait a minute, until we know, then let's just get our zoning and we'll work with that, because we didn't expect to lose the 2 acres to a new Ridgewood either. So 700 units is not going to be 700 units by the time we're finished. If we have to do 2 acres roughly to a new Ridgewood and a 3-acre retention pond, I mean, there's 5 acres right off the hop. And they're saying that they might need some land for the Bill Clement Parkway. So we're not at that 700 acres, or 700 units, sorry.
Are you...
Any final points you'd like to sort of address in rebuttal to anybody who's spoken?
Just that nobody voiced objection to all of these meetings. We were at these meetings with Landmark and Qualico, and we were at the open houses, and nobody objected to multiple family. And having to bring back the design is getting that approval at another time, just to pass the rezoning at this point.
Deb, have the gist that there was more, or there's an expectation that there be more done, and I'm particularly concerned about the traffic. We've had some of the members who've come to speak at our committee, at the Public Works Committee. We still don't have solutions for existing traffic problems, and I'm not meaning to put the cart before the horse, but I'm wondering if a traffic analysis had been presented here, we would have some solutions, perhaps even for some existing problems. I mean, is your intention to do all of this work? I mean, if we, I can't see that we can just blindly grant any rezoning, but also with the way certain elements have been handled on this file, you know, I guess you have the option, as did the previous applicant, in withdrawing and coming back in a couple of months with something more concrete that we could really embrace and the community could be more supportive of.
May I ask, when is the extension of the Bill Clement Parkway supposed to go through?
Well, I moved a motion and this committee supported it in July. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to speak to it tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock at the Public Works meeting because it's in the budget process. In the Transportation Master Plan, the extension to Wilkes is in by 2016 and the extension to Bishop Grandin is by 2021. Where funds come from that and how that's prioritized, I have no idea, but I continue to push for that item for Charleswood. So,
right, and so 2016, I mean, we're almost through 2013.
Exactly.
And it's for us to even get one building up is going to take, I'm going to say, 2 years. So you're not going to have an occupied building with all of that traffic. I understand the construction, but those parameters for trucks to enter is one thing. Do I realistically think that we can develop the whole 21 acres? Probably not. And you put up one building, and it's going to depend on the market.
Okay, but you were asking us to rezone an entire property,
right?
Not just give you authorization, right, for a small corner, which we,
right,
don't exactly know where. There's a big difference, because you could probably fit 7 buildings on that property.
True.
So that's a big ask without a lot of information, is all I'm
saying. And I hear you, and I guess a traffic study would have to be for one building plus for the maximum density that we would be able to have, knowing that the Bill Clement Parkway and the new Ridgewood would be in before it got, you know, to the 7 buildings or halfway there, knowing that the time frame.
You know, once again, I'll just make some final comments, but I think you got to do a public consultation. I mean, from us, you know, we're responsible for citizens. If there's not a public consultation, there's there. I mean, you could argue the fact that it comes in the zoning agreement later on, you know, looking at the traffic study, but really by that point, it's not a public hearing anymore, right? So it's people can come and I guess maybe they speak in delegation towards it. I'm not saying we're not going to listen. You know, if it's a good proposal, we're going to look at it. It just, I guess what my concern is there really isn't anything here. Like, I mean, like, you know, there's one fellow who spoke to a few of the things. I mean, it just, he was right. There's nothing here we can really judge. He's asking for us to kind of sign you a blank check here. So we're not saying we're opposed to the development. We're just saying we don't have enough information. So we're just asking you to do the regular process that a normal developer would normally do. So, you know, maybe I'll have to think about that. We can probably make a decision now, or, you know, you've got your choices, obviously. But, anyways, that's all my comments I have.
Any closing thoughts, Paul?
I don't know what more I can really add, except that...
You'd like to see the traffic study done.
And at a minimum, yes.
And a conceptual plan.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, after spending however many hours we've been here, you must appreciate that there's a will to, A, have some opportunities for development, and for, B, to try to expedite things for everybody who's coming forward. And I happen to think that your proposal for multifamily for 55-plus, it's badly needed in the area, and it's quite different than the other application that we heard from tonight. So I'm just asking for some more thoroughness here, or some
okay, if we withdraw...
Even a schematic...
Right.
If you withdraw, then you can probably reapply within a year. If it goes through mm-hmm. and it's rejected, then I think you got to wait a year. Is that right?
They can wait.
No, because the policy is May. Yeah. We may reject.
Sorry. If we withdraw, then we could possibly come back in a couple of months if we had everything done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's probably. Your
I'll withdraw it.
Seems like 9 hours to sit and wait for that to be your decision, but I think that's the wisest one, you know, for all concerned. We don't.
You like all drop pretty good hints.
I'm sorry. Well, no, we're just being honestly. If we see all the information before us, we're going to make a good decision. I don't feel we got enough information that I can make
a
qualified decision that I can, you know, someone after. Meets me in the hallway later and says, well, why did you make a decision on it? I don't feel right saying one way or the other. So anyways, I think you probably made a good decision.
And I think it's fair to say this has probably been the closest that you've come to having this rezoned in all the many years that you've owned it. So we're
right.
A bit of work away.
Okay. Thank you, Deborah. We appreciate it. We will expect to see you in the near future. Okay.
All right, then I'll move that we accept the applicant's decision to withdraw, and I'll move that we file this report. And do we need to do the motion about this thing about the?
No, we're going to do it in October.
Okay, I'll move consent adjournment.
All those in favor, opposed, and we're done at 2:15.